to Tiny Island Diary, a podcast celebrating all our tiny islands in Animal Crossing New Horizons, also known as ACNH. Each week on Tiny Island Diary, we'll chat with an ACNH player and find out what life is like on their tiny island. We might pick up a few tips, tricks, or hacks and new ideas we can use. My name is Antoinette, and I'm an unlikely host for this podcast. Pre-pandemic, I spent 99% of my time in the physical world with family, friends, and a satisfying career as a public speaker. COVID changed many things, and I was suddenly grounded at home in Austin, Texas. I picked up my son's Nintendo Switch console, downloaded ACNH, and found some joy and peace in my own tiny virtual island. I bet you have too. Tiny Island Diary is a podcast in a bottle, washing up on your shore every week. I hope you enjoy it. Friday, August 14th, 2020, aka the year both fleeting and eternal. Dear Tiny Island Diary, it's me, Antoinette. I had a nice week in the game. First, I attended my first two birthday parties. It surprised me that when I arrived, each party only had one guest who stayed the entire day and night. I choose to believe everyone else popped in while I was doing other things. Second, Louis gave me his photo. Again. That's right, he gave me his photo in June or so, and last night he gave me another photo. It's so sweet, but then I look out the side of my eye at Phil and Eunice, who haven't given me their photo yet even once. Finally, terraforming is going well. While I can see the excitement of going whole hog into island design and finishing everything, I really enjoy taking my time, and at this rate, my island will be done about the same time I think we'll emerge from quarantine, which is 2021. The current version of ACNH is 1.4.1. Our guest today, Jasmine Dudley, is someone I came to know through a mutual acquaintance slash friend. She lives in Dallas, Texas, and with a background in gaming, she currently shares fantastic content at her YouTube channel, Pretty Brown and Nerdy, and on her podcast, Nerd Talk. And of course, she also plays Animal Crossing New Horizons and has some thoughts and ideas to share with us today. We are thrilled to hear them. Jasmine, how are you today?
Hi, how are you doing? Hi, everybody.
We are so excited to have you here. Please tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to ACNH, and maybe a little bit about your gameplay and how you approach the game.
Well, so first off, I'm Jasmine Dudley, 29 years old. I am still very fresh in the games industry, but as a gamer myself, I have been playing games for as long as I can remember. Super Nintendo days, N64, I've had gaming consoles pretty much my entire life and just absorbed myself into games, and that's what led me to do it professionally. But yes, I am actually very familiar with the Animal Crossing franchise from GameCube days, so kind of way back then. And to see how much it's grown now in New Horizons, it's just crazy how the franchise has evolved. So I was very excited for New Horizons, and it came at a very interesting time that I think a lot of us didn't expect. I was already expecting to, engross myself in hours of it, but it ended up being a lot more than I expected at once. Many nights up until 5 a.m. obsessing over my island and my villagers. So it's been a crazy ride.
Do you play on a Switch Lite or the Switch console that you can hook up to the TV?
I play on the regular base Switch console.
Okay, and so do you normally play it on a screen or on a television, or do you play it with the little handheld, Joy-Con attached?
I prefer handheld mode.
You do?
Yeah, I just like to chill in my bed or on the couch, and sometimes I've got background noise. I have a show going on in the background, and I'm playing some Animal Crossing.
When you mentioned the 5 a.m. obsessing over your island, I imagine that you were holding it in your hand under the covers and making some critical decisions there. I think 10 years ago, I might have done the same thing, but at my age, I prefer the big screen. I prefer being able to see things. So that's great. What about your daily routine in the game? Do you have one at all?
Sometimes it varies. Sometimes the first thing I'll do, of course, is go to the beach. see what my DIY item is. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I do is I see which NPC is in town. So I always check the back area to see if Red is illegally parked on my island because I need to get that next art piece for my museum.
Yes.
Because he doesn't show up too often. Mm-mm. So I like to check for him especially. And if I see that boat back there, it's, you know, like a nice little surprise. Like, yes, Red's in town.
Oh,
my,
good.
You know, cousin's going to scam me on some art probably. But I'm a cheater. I go online and I read which is the fake art and which is
yes.
the real art because I'm yes. like, I'm not about to have you scam me.
Yes.
So let me go see which one's real. But even those are kind of funny because you can go and look at those guides. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, that sneaky little fox, he can still get you because I ended up buying something counterfeit that the guide said was real. And I was like, well, you know, okay, so I just put it outside in front of my museum, but I'm trying to get the counterfeit statues to, you know, decorate the outside of the museum. But, you know, I'll check for him. I'll check, you know, for some other NPCs if someone else is in town. Then I'll go, you know, talk to my villagers, see who's trying to move out, trying to escape my island because it's not happening. And then I'll go into someone's house and see if they're working on another DIY.
Yes.
So that's my usual routine.
That's awesome. You just brought up Red and you said I'm a cheater because I go online and I look at the guides. And I think it's interesting to consider what we all think of as cheating versus not, because that really does vary from person to person. There are some folks that will hack the game or pay someone to hack the game in order for them to obtain certain materials or do things differently. And in fact, I think out of our five guests so far on this podcast, you are our first time traveler, which I don't know that I necessarily think of as cheating either, but I just find the whole concept interesting. I don't have any plans to do it, but I would kind of love to hear a little bit from you, especially since your gameplay with Animal Crossing goes back to the original. Have you always time traveled? Did you decide when you started New Horizons that time traveling was your gig? And what draws you to that?
So at first, I didn't even know that was an option. Mm. And then, you know, I saw someone on a stream on Twitch do it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, you can time travel? And so I watched them do it. And that's what led me to time traveling. But I know for some Animal Crossers, ACers, it's kind of like, you know, a taboo thing for some to, you know, it's like, no, I'm going to do the day to day. I'm going to take my time with this, and they'll really get on time travelers. And for me personally, I'm just like, you know, play the game how you want to play it. You
yes.
know, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
I mean, we're all enjoying the game. There's right. no like, you know, book of rules that says we can't time travel. If
right.
that was the case, it wouldn't be available. Like it's an option for a reason. You know, they didn't see
yeah.
you know, anything, you know, negative about it. But
well, beyond that, your choice to time travel doesn't affect my choice to not time travel. So
exactly.
I'm not really sure why people get so purist or try to enforce that purity on other people, their idea of the right way to play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so for time traveling, mostly it depends. A lot of the times, you know, I do it. It's because I'm working on something on my island and I want to be able to get it done without the restrictions of the game telling me that I have to wait till tomorrow. Like if I'm building a bridge or an incline, you know, I don't want to pay for it and, you know, be like, I can't access this area to design it until this, you know, this bridge is built or this incline is built.
Yes.
So I'm going to just, you know, skip to the next day.
Right.
But not before first, you know, checking if there's anything I missed that day. But for most DIY items on the beach, like those carry over. So the bottles will just stack. So if you don't grab a bottle off of a certain part of the island, you can just get it the next day. Like
okay.
it's not going to disappear.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'll do it in those cases or, you know, if I'm, let's say for Red, for instance, if I'm trying to get a certain piece of art, I found that you can time travel and go back and he'll still be there, but he'll have the same items. So let's say you wanted to get a real item, but also you saw like a fake item and you were like, oh, I really want that too, but I can only buy one art per day. Then you can just go back and buy the one that you wanted. But it doesn't spawn new art though. So you can't just like continuously stack art.
Right. When did you start playing the game?
Oh, gosh. New Horizons?
Yeah, it was released like a middle March.
When on did you launch start day.
You did. Okay, yeah, good for you. In our prep call, you talked about the issue of longevity of the game for a player. So I'm curious if you find yourself going in and out of phases of gameplay. Do you have maybe weeks where you're super into the game and you're, you know, holding that console in bed up until 5 a.m. and then other weeks where you don't touch it? And I've heard that if you go a week without playing the game, your character gets bedhead or something really cute like that. Do you go through phases of heavy play, light play, or no play? Or, you know, are you pretty consistent and is it still feeling fresh for you right now?
Oh, for sure. I do go through those phases. Like when the game first came out, like the first 2 months, I would say I was in deep. Like I was just going hard on Animal Crossing. And then, you know, after, you know, I was satisfied with my island for the most part, I was like, okay, I'm just going to casually start, you know, checking in every now and then. And I found myself falling off, but the first event that we had for, you know, AC New Horizons, that was when I was like, okay, so they're adding more content. So I'm going to come back and see what this new content is about. And then when they added those bushes, the flower bushes, I was like, oh, great. I can take off these ugly fences because I'm not like a big fan of fencing everything in the island.
Yes.
Because I really like the appeal of natural looks when it comes to designing your island and people's homes. And so the idea of creating fencing with bushes is more appealing to me than using fences. So I was like, oh, great. I can take down all these fences and put these bushes over here. And so I started doing that and kind of gardening around my island and adding new stuff to, you know, make it look nice and fresh for Earth Day and also the Easter event with the terrifying bunny rabbit that looks like it came out of a Shining movie.
I started playing after that event, so I have no firsthand experience, but I've seen pictures and you know, it is as you say.
The funny thing about that bunny rabbit, though, is he jumps up and down and gets all excited. But the funny thing is if you point your camera, like you use your camera and go off the screen, he stops jumping up and down. And he'll like sigh and be like, "Whew."
like he's glad for a break.
Yeah. And I'm just like, who is in that mascot little outfit? Funny. It's a mystery that no one will know. Maybe it's not even anyone in it. Maybe it's a real creature. We'll never know.
We'll never know the mysteries of this game. You talked about how it took you a couple of months to kind of get your island the way that you wanted. What else is island life like for you?
Well, you know, the theme of my island is pastels. So I like light pastel colors, pinks and purples. So island life is pretty much just, working on that for the most part, you know, checking out mystery islands and seeing what stuff I can collect. I've been hoarding turnips for some money. So I've got about like 3 million bells in my bank right now. That's all toward upkeep on my island. Hanging out in my house, messing around with stuff, talking to my villagers. That's pretty much what everyday island life is like for me. Having visitors, giving tours.
Yes. The turnips. Let's talk about the turnips for a second. Do you time travel and do turnip trade at all, or how does that work?
Now, turnips are very specific because turnips are tricky with time travel because you cannot go back. You can only go forward. And if you go forward, you can only go forward for a certain number of days before they spoil. So you have to be very particular, especially if you're on different time frames. So for me, time traveling, of course, I'm going to be ahead of a couple of days. So let's say if a friend, because I mostly do the stock market with friends, I did do Turnip Exchange for a while, but waiting in the queues just got really tedious and irritating, and so I just stopped. Yeah. So I'll wait until a friend is like, hey, turnips are like 500 bells on my island, or, you know, there are 600. And sometimes people will kind of scam the system, because what we found was that any turnips that are higher then I think about 600 or 700, it gets into hacking territory. So if people are in like the 700 to 900, then that means they're hacking the game.
I did not know that it could get above like 500.
Exactly, because that's usually where it will stay around. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really exceed any higher than like the 6,000 or 600s. Mm-hmm. So when I would see these islands on Turnip Exchange, you know, talking about, oh, 800 bells, they're hacking the game. And I was like, I never knew that. So I learned something about that. But, you know, if friends have like turnips that are high, you know, I'll go ahead and visit their island and do it. But let's say, you know, they're still in the month before and I'm in the next month. So what you have to do, you have to go back in time. So you go back in time to the Sunday of that week, buy your turnips, and then you can go to their island, because as long as they are forward in time, you don't have to worry about them spoiling if you travel to their island.
Okay. You can't travel backward in time with your turnips and sell them.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It can only be forward.
Mm-hmm. I have like a whole tutorial on that now. Thank you, Jasmine. I appreciate it. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a deep dive with Jasmine Dudley of Pretty Brown and Nerdy. We are back with Tiny Island Diary and our guest, Jasmine Dudley, and we are ready for the section of our podcast that I've nicknamed the deep dive, which of course is slightly a pun on diving in the game. But then also, I feel like Animal Crossing is just one of those experiences that on the surface, when you talk to people that don't play the game, they just kind of assume that it's an escape, it's just fantasy, it's frivolous fun, when in fact there to me is no end of like really deep topics that we can get into. And it seems like I've really met someone of like mind in you, Jasmine, because when we chatted about different areas where you have thought like really deeply and done some reflection on things that are happening in Animal Crossing and how they maybe do or don't reflect in real life, you had a lot of thoughts. And one of them is kind of related to the topic that we just talked about before. I had asked you about your own gameplay and phases of deep interest versus stepping back a little bit and longevity and playability. Do you have any other additional thoughts on that?
Definitely in terms of longevity, I think that's one of the topics that we focus on a lot now, you know, even as in the industry of how we can, you know, help consumers still find, you know, interest in the game. You know, especially the big thing right now with games is added content and DLC. And I think what they've done with Animal Crossing, especially to bring this aspect into the game itself, is very great. Because, you know, back in the day for a lot of Nintendo games and games especially, it was always like, you know, the game is the game. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else. What's in it is what's in it. And this is all you have. And you have to find a way to continuously find enjoyment in it.
Right.
Because this is what you have. There's no more new content.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, technology has advanced so much now to where we don't have to just, you know, have what we have in a game and that's it. Now we can continuously add brand new stuff to the games. We can add new content and even add fixes, patches, as we call it, to the games, you know, because now games have like, you know, their day one patch, their 30-day patch, and so on and so forth.
Right.
But what I found was really interesting that they're doing with Animal Crossing is finding new ways to have events and use that aspect of technology, you know, to their advantage. You know, how we've had the Easter Bunny Day event, we had Earth Day, now we're doing our summer event where we had, you know, our added new NPCs and, you know, swimming is in the game now. And I just, like, that's what keeps me coming back to the game. you know, like you feel like, okay, I'm done. I've done all I can.
Yes.
In Animal Crossing now. I've beat it out of myself. I'm tired now. I don't want to go back to it. And then, you know, I log into Twitter and here comes Nintendo.
That's right.
New X event is coming. And it's like, dang, you brought me back.
Yes. Okay. Like fireworks. How are you going to say no to that?
Right.
Yeah. So it makes me think about a game, a very simple Flash game that I played with my son when he was very little. I don't even know that I remember the name of it. But what I do remember is that when we finished the game, we increased the difficulty level. And kind of to your point, there's always in games typically kind of an end goal. And then when you get there, it doesn't necessarily feel as fresh unless you challenge yourself in new ways. And I do think that that downloadable content is such a benefit for me, something that I frankly did not expect. And I'll back up for a second and say that I bought the Switch for my son 3 years ago or whatever when it first came out, along with a couple of Mario games that he has loved. And I think Super Smash Bros. Was the most recent one that he played. And in those games, he was never super into the social component of them, but he definitely did, like, finish the game, quote unquote, and then we were done. So I'm kind of used to paying that $50 or $60 per game price tag and having him finish it and then be done. So it was a giant, like, pleasant surprise for me to see all these new features, and I just can't imagine myself abandoning this, you know, anytime in the next, I would say even year, based on the way that this cycle is going.
Oh, for sure. Even if things have slowed down after the summer event, you know, they've already teased Halloween is coming.
Yes.
You know, so we have that to look forward to in the coming months, you know, for that event as well. And then I'm sure they're going to have maybe a Christmas event or a Thanksgiving event. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's very interesting. But for me also with these events, it's been kind of tricky. Because I do have, I am in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes.
So I was one of those people, I was like, oh, I want to see what this is. Like, I didn't realize that it was going to also be a climate.
Yes.
Like a climate change thing. So while it is nice and sunny and enjoyable on everybody's islands right now, mine is an ice frozone. Elsa has come and...
Wow.
Literally descended upon her winter wonderland on my southern island.
Right,
so.
Right. You're like an Australian island or something.
Right.
Yeah,
I had to time travel to December so I could be all nice and cool in the tropics with everybody.
Right. you mentioned earlier that the theme of your island, and it's funny that, you know, when we use that word theme, some people take it very literally, and I've seen islands that are all Japanese style, all Japanese. Your theme is pastels. And, you know, we had bunny season and there were a couple of things kind of built into the game that seems like they would lend themselves to that aesthetic. Tell us more about your experience of like interior design, exterior design, island design using ACNH.
Yeah, so I've played around with my island a couple of times. I think right now I'm on my third remodel, and I think it's getting to where I want it to be. That's the main reason I do the stock market, is because when I know I'm going to have a big remodel coming, I'm like, okay, I need bells for this. So let me just like stock up on some bells and then get this going. So right now I'm terraforming again and moving houses around because, you know, Tom Nook is a scammer and wants all our money to even, you know, take down a bridge.
He's so much. That man is too much.
Yeah, it's gone through like three different style iterations because that's one of the more fun things for me, especially when I used to be a simmer. I'm not really too familiar on what's going on in The Sims right now, but when I was playing it, you know, back when it was first like Sims 1 and 2, I was really big on like the interior design aspect of it and decorating my house and, you know, dreaming about the house that maybe someday I'll have as a millennial in her like third recession. So but you know, so I was like, okay, let me see if I want to play around with some styles. So at first I didn't quite really know the area that my island was going for. You know, it was just kind of really random and all over the place and kind of bland for the most part, the first iteration of my island. And then the second iteration was a little bit better, but it still felt a little too gray for me because, you know, there weren't really like a lot of pavement options and things like that. Right. So I started using Ables and importing designs and trying to play around with that. And at first I thought I wanted like kind of, you know, a neutral tone. Mm-hmm. Like I thought, you know, I was going to be like, okay, this is going to be a very neutral island. It's going to be like, you know, modern, minimalistic island. Yeah. And that was what I was going for at first, was like the very like minimal look, airy and light. That's kind of popular right now in home design too and on Pinterest. But then I was like, I don't really know if I like this. It doesn't really have much personality. It doesn't have my personality.
Right.
So I was like, pastel pink. And so now the roads are pink brick roads on my island right now. Cool. I've got like a nice entrance where it's like a white water fountain and like cute purple and pink bushes and stuff. It's like a little garden area. It looks really nice, the entrance of my island, which I've been trying to get right for so long, because at first I had nook and cranny in front of it because I was doing a lot of trading and exchanging with people, and I didn't want them like running around my island touching stuff.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm just gonna put it to where it's fenced off and you can go straight to nooks and then leave, get out.
Right.
But I found like it was really hard to do that, because then it created some problems, because I couldn't really, it just felt really congested in the front of my island because I had nooks there, and then I was trying to have a nice waterfall too.
Right.
And it just looked too much. So I ended up moving it again. But now I think it's kind of designed to where I like it right now. Mm-hmm. I wish we could move Town Hall so much.
Yeah.
But it's like I really want to move it and kind of play around with that. But it's like, nope, the airport stays where it is and Town Hall is where it is, and you just got to deal with it.
Sometimes limitations are good. I think a few limitations can be good. One of the limitations that's frustrated me personally is that my character doesn't really look like me without a hat. And what I mean by that is, of course, Jasmine can see me right now, and 5 months into COVID, I have this kind of unruly mop with no shape. I am going to the hairdresser tomorrow, though, for a safe, COVID-safe haircut. All that said, I normally have sort of like, you know, swoopy bangs going on, but like a pixie cut for the rest of the hair. Mm-hmm. And in the game, I have to choose a hairstyle where, without a hat, essentially my character has great big pigtails, one on each side of her head. When she wears a hat, though, the front looks exactly like my hair. And it looks so much like me that when she's wearing a hat, like my son walked by the television one day when I was playing and he goes, oh my gosh, she looks exactly like you. She's dressed like you, hair, skin tone, everything. And it's a little frustrating that I can't quite get exactly, I mean, and I've bought every pack, right? I don't think I'm alone in this. And there may be folks out there that I bet have fewer choices than I do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially, like, I can commend Nintendo for even, like, considering or thinking about, you know, incorporating black hairstyles specifically. But, yeah, I definitely see there is a lack in the options. You know, you're either stuck with, like, you know, the side shaves and the little curl fro, or you just have, like, your little short bob fro, and then that's pretty much it, or then you have like the shaved head,
right?
Which is what, you know, a lot of black men typically have, like just the shaved head, with the short cut. But you know, some like to play around with styles too and have a little bit of hair going on with some, you know, braids or some twists,
right?
Or, you know, side shave going on. So yeah, definitely I feel like the options are very limited. Especially is what you can play around with. So that's the one thing I hope for in the future. We'll have like a patch or something for some more hair packs, that we can use and play around with. But yeah, for the most part, Nintendo has been really good about, you know, having that in Animal Crossing and understanding that there are, a diverse group of people that play this game. But that's the one thing I wish they would have spent a little more time on.
It wouldn't surprise me in the future if they released some sort of hair salon component or something where you could go in and order a haircut or something from someone.
Oh, I would love that.
Be cool,
even
right?
A cafe, because the mobile game has a cafe. Wow. And so I'm just like, when are we going to get a cafe? Come on.
Do you play the mobile game too? Is it called Pocket Camp? That's the one, right?
Yeah, Pocket Camp. I played a little bit of it, but I wasn't like in deep like some people I know that were playing it. But yeah, you could have like a cafe and, you know, go and check out your little cafe and design it and everything. And so I'm hoping we get something like that in New Horizons because, you know, for the most part, a lot of us just have made makeshift cafes. Which is what I had for a while, but I tore it down because I'm trying to move stuff around.
Right.
But, you know, or like little farmers markets people will create, which is cool. But yeah, I just would love for us to be able to kind of advance our island a little bit to have shops like that. Like, it would be really fun.
That would be fun. I have a makeshift diner right now because I don't know if you're like me, but I've had tons of diner pieces in the present boxes that come out of the sky. The challenge is so many of them are completely different colors. They have so many different colorways. So I've been focusing on, you know, trading or working with friends to locate pink diner pieces. And I have a little kind of mini diner that I really, really like right now with the neon "We're Open" sign. So I feel you on that. I have an espresso machine in there. That's why it made me think of it. I don't have a cafe, but I have an espresso machine in the diner. So when you come to visit, you can serve yourself up some espresso.
Yeah.
So if I find it interesting that, you know, Animal Crossing is, I mean, 16 million copies. It is wildly popular. And COVID has created an environment where Animal Crossing, even Pocket Camp at its, you know, $3.99 price tag or whatever, which is much more accessible, they provide a real means of, for me personally, escape. And then also, to a certain degree, actually to a large degree, creativity. It's such a great creative outlet. What are some of the ways that you have found Animal Crossing helpful for you, particularly during the pandemic?
Definitely the creative aspect. It kind of brought back for a little bit because, you know, like, I mean, even working in games, you know, it's like, oh, you're already creative, you work in games. But a lot of times, you know, you have to stay on track with where the game is going and what the overall theme of the game is. And that can kind of even stifle creativity sometimes because you might have other things that you want to work on, but you're kind of the focus is what the job is then and there.
Right.
And that's exactly what it is at the end of the day. It's a job as well. It's not just something that you're doing just because, you know, it's a, the fun aspect of it. It's not entirely just that. So yeah, it was nice to be able to kind of have something for myself and kind of design and fine tune something in my own way and how I want it to be and how I like it. And also just kind of shifting into this pandemic was another thing because it really was unexpected. And, you know, it came at a time where I was trying to make some life-changing decisions and movements of my own that kind of got stifled in the process. And so it was really hard to navigate through that and kind of deal with this and know, like, because I'm the type of person who's a go-getter. I'm like, if I want to do something, I want to do something, and nobody's going to tell me I can't do it.
Right.
Like, we're going to get this done one way or another.
Yes.
And then, like, this pandemic is like, no.
Yes.
And so it's really frustrating for me because I hate feeling, like, trapped. And so it really did a lot on my mental. And so Animal Crossing was something for me to just kind of, It was definitely a way to cope with all that's going on right now. And it kind of brought back the lightness and the fun of the world that we just kind of forgot about because we're frustrated about so many things right now.
Yes.
And so we forget how to have fun. And just it brought back people together for me, you know, to celebrate birthdays in this game, you know, like to find a way to feel like that closeness with your friends again, because you can't see them or hang out with them, or we're not supposed to be hanging out.
Right.
I mean, if you are, then. But, you know, like to celebrate birthdays through there. Like, I have some friends, you know, even that work in the same space, and they would have like job meetings. Like, they would have their meetings, their work meetings in Animal Crossing.
Wow.
Just to like kind of you know, change the scenery yeah. from seeing each other through a webcam. They're like, oh, let's go to so-and-so's island and just sit down and have our meeting in Animal Crossing.
I support and I'm that just like, wholeheartedly.
That's, yeah, I'm like, love. That is really cool. Yeah. You know, I've seen people do surprise birthday parties, not always planned. Aww. Like, they'll have a surprise birthday party and use the party poppers Aww. And stuff. And now we have balloons in the game. Yes. So that's another added plus. Yeah. But yeah, and also just coping with loss. You know, I had a friend who is also a streamer that for the anniversary of her mother's passing, she made a memorial in Animal Crossing mm-hmm. for her mother. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like this game has really helped a lot of people navigate through some hard times. Me, myself, you know, to just feel a little bit of light in this darkness that we have right now. Yes. So,
and to remember how to play and that it's okay mm-hmm. to play. Because I think when things have been so dark and so heavy these past few months, we get in this mode of, you know, not wanting to break out of that, not wanting to be inappropriate for the time. And I think that we're human and being able to play and being able to have fun and lightness is also part of that. So I'm with you 100%.
Oh, for sure. Like, I compared this to the Pokemon Go wave. You know, mm-hmm. that was Pokemon Go when it came out in 2016 was just kind of like, it didn't really matter about any of the mess that was going on or whatever in the world. Like, people were just having so much fun. I remember parking in parking lots and seeing other cars there. And then if the server went down, we all pulled out and left. So that means we were all playing Pokemon.
Right.
Like, we were there to go to the gym that was at that location. Yeah. And just like, I remember being in a shopping plaza and like somebody had dropped a lure down and everybody like huddled over to the fountain. And it was just like dozens of people just playing Pokemon Go in this random spot in like a shopping complex. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, you know, and I kind of think of Animal Crossing, the wave with Animal Crossing, I equivalent to that because, you know, this has just been something that everyone can, you know, connect with mm-hmm. and make references and memes online. And we're all sharing them because it's like, I get that joke. Yes. I get that reference. Or yes. like, we're just having fun. It just teaches people to just, like you said, remember to have fun and remember to play.
Yes. Speaking of memes, one that I shared most recently that you might have seen is Squidward from SpongeBob struggling to sleep while outside of his window. Have you seen this one?
Yes.
SpongeBob is doing construction and it says, my villagers at 3 a.m. when I'm trying to terraform. And I thought, I feel that so much in a way that's probably not appropriate. I get it. Thank you so much for taking us through all of your thoughts on that, Jasmine. We're going to come back up to the surface right now with a section of the podcast that I call the This or That Tournament. So I'm going to ask you up to 10 questions in 1 minute. And frankly, when I look at these questions, a couple of them are longer. So I'm going to set the timer for like 1 minute, 10 seconds, because I know the questions
Ooh,
are a little
oh,
bit long.
Pressure. Okay,
a little pressure. And all you have to do is give us a quick reaction to which one you prefer or what your answer is. So are you ready, Jasmine?
I'm ready. Let's do
all
it.
Right. Nook's Cranny or Able Sisters Shop?
Able's.
CJ or Daisy May?
Daisy.
Rainbows or meteor showers?
Meteor shower.
One theme for your entire island or themed areas of your island?
One theme.
Waterfalls or ponds?
Waterfall.
Collect fake art too or only the genuine art?
genuine.
Mabel, Sable, or Label?
Oh, Sable.
You see a scorpion, catch it or let it be?
Catch it.
Would you rather see KK live or listen to a KK album?
KK album.
When you help Wisp, do you choose something expensive or something new?
Something new.
And you actually got that in a minute. You Ooh, answered hey. Everyone in a minute. Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations. Let's dissect a couple of these. Tell me about the KK album versus KK Live.
Because, you know, I'll see him playing, mm-hmm. but I don't always stop. Mm-hmm. I just pass by and let him do his mm-hmm. thing. Because, you know, I'm like, okay, he's over there wonderwalling. I'm going to just go do what I need to do.
Wonderwalling so. For 24 hours or however long yep. it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to just go do what I need to do. He's having his fun over there. Like, sometimes my villagers sit down and watch.
Yes.
But if I've got, like, things I need to do, I'm like, all right. But I always have to get all the KK albums. Mm-hmm. Like, from the store, I'll go and grab each one, and I need to collect them all.
So do you have one of each album, or are you the kind of person that you register one to listen to, and then you hang the album in the second copy? I think that's how that works, right?
Yeah. If I had a music room, I'd probably buy two, but my game room is taking up a lot of the space in the basement
gotcha.
Right now. So I just buy one copy.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's talk about Daisy May for a minute with that nose. Girl is so cute. She is so cute. I love her voice.
So
I love her personality and everything. That nose.
I know. Someone please give her a tissue. She needs help. That's like a very that's a character thing in Japan. The runny nose thing, like that's like a character archetype, like it's supposed to be cute and everything, and she is cute. Some people might be off put by her nose though and be like, somebody please, she's dripping.
Yes.
But
I think
yeah,
if I were inclined to buy the turnips and to play that stock market, I would probably get over it, but I don't play it at all. So when I see her, mm-hmm. I just stop because I want like that little dose of cuteness, and then the nose,
right.
like she'll sneeze and I'm like, COVID, stop it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I know. Especially now.
Especially like, now.
Especially when the villagers are sick in their house and they sneeze in your face. You're just like, no.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks for indulging in that tournament. That was really fun, and we're going to take our second break right now. When we return, we'll wrap up our conversation with Jasmine Dudley. Jasmine, we're really, really happy to have spent some time with you today, and we are going to wrap up with the same five questions that I ask of every guest on Tiny Island Diary, and that begins with, what do you love most about Animal Crossing New Horizons?
Definitely the sense of camaraderie with friends. Definitely. I'm really big on friendships and spending time with friends and feeling that closeness. And that's what it does for me. So that's my favorite part.
I love seeing the smile on your face when you say it, too. I can tell it's warming your heart. What is one thing that you would change about the game?
Definitely more options with hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want more hairstyles.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to second that one. Can you offer a listener tip, trick, or hack? Maybe some practice that you engage in that you want to recommend for other people to try?
Yeah, for sure. So definitely, I wouldn't say it's like a hack, more of like a tip. If you're looking for resources or certain materials on your island, definitely also, I guess this is a big one for me, hoard DIY items. Just because it's a repeat, don't sell it, trade it. So if you're looking for, you know, specific items or anything, Nookazon is definitely a great resource to connect with people and trade items with people. So hang on to some materials because someone else might need it and you can trade it for something better.
Side question on Nookazon. So you seem to have a lot of experience with it. Have you found that people are generally like trustworthy? Have you had anybody come and be like questionable where you had to kick them off the island or anything like that?
Oh, no. For my experience on Nookazon's been great because the UI and the design is well thought out on the website. They have island reviews and ratings for the person.
Okay.
So you can read their reviews and find out if the person is reputable or if they scam someone. Or,
smart.
You know, they also have a Discord where you can connect with people in Discord. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really great experience. Luckily, I haven't had any shady people come on my island. So
that's good to know.
It's not Craigslist of Animal Crossing. It's definitely prime material.
That's great. Thank you for that. I think I'm going to get brave and try Nookazon. I'd been kind of avoiding it, but because you've had good experiences and are recommending it, I might give it a shot. I've got like 40 DIYs on the beach, and I literally this morning was like, I should scoop these up and go sell them. This is ridiculous.
Definitely. That's one thing. If you're looking to have a 5-star island, yes. If you have a bunch of stuff just sitting around, Isabel will definitely dox you for
that.
She
is on me about it. She's on me.
Yeah. She'll definitely get on
you. Yeah, she has said a couple of times, like, just one tiny piece of feedback. And she says it in that super sweet voice. And she's like, get this junk off the island, please, is what she says.
No, Isabel is very tactful in how she speaks. Yes. She is a great communicator because she can shade you. And still it comes out super nice. Like, you know, Tom Nook is working that girl to the bone. Like, yes. She is literally sleeping at her desk. Like, somebody save her. Please.
I love the fireworks days because she spends the whole day outside and he is inside doing the work, right. Which is very good for me to see. What is your favorite resource for ACNH news, updates, guides, those kinds of things?
Definitely Twitter is a great space to be in for all the latest and greatest news. Follow all the Nintendo official resources. And then there's also a couple of, there's not one in particular that I recommend, but you can probably, if you search Animal Crossing, you can find some Twitter accounts that are just dedicated to all things Animal Crossing that give great feedback and information. There's this Instagram page that I'm following that gives design ideas that I follow. I'll probably go ahead and link you the resource to provide because the name escapes me. I just like added it and I was like, yes, yeah. I want this.
We'll add it to the show notes for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But it's been good in like giving me design ideas and, you know, ways to set up my island that I probably didn't even like think about that. It basically shares other people's islands and little things that they've come up with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And sometimes it provides design codes as well.
Yes.
So.
We'll go ahead and link to that account that Jasmine is thinking of in the show notes. Final question for you, Jasmine. What question do you have for listeners of Tiny Island Diary?
I want to know what the theme of your island is and what your goals for your island are. Like, what is the big thing that you hope to accomplish in Animal Crossing?
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping for a wide variety of responses to that, from the super aggressive, let's get this island just right for the fifth time, to, I don't know, if it happens, it happens. The 5-star rating, right? Listeners, if you have an answer for Jasmine or you would like to ask a question of your own, you can do that on Twitter. The handle is at Tiny Island Diary, or you can email tinyislanddiary@gmail.com. Tiny Island Diary is on most major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Overcast, and Spotify, and more services are being added. If you enjoy this podcast, please tell your ACNH friends about this podcast and share and subscribe. And particularly if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you can rate and review Tiny Island Diary, that would help other people find this as well. Jasmine, you are full of immense ideas and thoughts. It's really been a pleasure talking with you today about our favorite game. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
Everyone, please visit Jasmine on YouTube at Pretty Brown and Nerdy, and be sure to give her podcast, Nerd Talk, a listen. Next week, we will hear from another excellent guest on Tiny Island Diary. Talk soon. Bye.